Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa, deep, dark depression, excessive
the
misery.
Hell?
Whoa, if it were for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Whoa,
sir.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Hey, Derek.
I need you to help clean up the blood that just fell out of my ears, Mike.
You know, shout
ooh, a
out,
tissue.
Shout out to Buck Owens.
I literally don't know who that is.
Look him up. That's an old Hee Haw reference for you millennials and youngsters.
God, I used to watch that, or I would turn off the TV when Hee Haw started on Nick at Night.
There you go. Hey,
yeah, Buck Owens. Look at that. Born in 1929. Alvis Edgar Owens Jr. Especially known as Buck Owens.
That's why folks listen to this podcast, for old Hee Haw references. Derek, 3-game losing streak. tell me why I shouldn't jump off the Hurricanes bandwagon and go out and buy, I don't know, a Dustin Byfuglien jersey. Oh, wait, never mind. What's going
okay,
on?
Stop, so,
stop me. Help. Spiraling. I will.
Okay. Like, we were talking about this in doing some show prep, which does happen despite the way the show turns out. The Hurricanes have played 16 games, correct?
At last check, yes.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Current in-game update. Hurricanes have played 16 games, yeah.
All right. How many games are there in a season? I believe it's 82 in the regular season?
82 regular season games. You are correct.
All right. Let me do the math here. Slide the dice around. Yeah, we have 66 games remaining. We started off really strong, then we lost a couple, then we won 3, then we lost 3. It's
a
long season. It happens. Don't freak out. It's going to be all right.
Derek, are we ever going to win another game?
Signs point to yes.
Derek, are we ever going to win another game when we play 11 forwards and 7 defensemen?
You know what? I hope I never know. I never, ever, ever want to see 11 forwards and 7 defensemen again.
You know who else doesn't want to see that? Tonight's podcast guest joined us earlier. You may know and love her from The Athletic, Carolina. Sarah Sivian will be joining us on the Dawn from Fathom Realty Caniac Realtor guest line a little later. We talked with her about that, amongst numerous other things, including the Vibe Tribe and the Summer of White Claw. So stick around for that. But Derek, we've got a lot of things to talk about. It's been a couple of weeks since we've dropped a podcast, and we're going to start doing these more on the regular because, you know, we miss the people. And
We do.
And the people are probably indifferent to us at this point. But you know what? Hell with the people. We got a podcast to do. Hit that damn X button.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, brought to you by New Belgium Brewing, the best damn beer you can put in your beer hole. And also Dawn from Fathom Realty, she is the Caniac Realtor. She's sponsoring the Caniac guest line this week. We thank all of y'all for listening. And now, let's get back to Mike and Derek.
And proudly, still shockingly, a member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network, I think. Is that still a thing? Is that still a thing?
We should look into that. I don't know if we're using trademarks without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
I don't either. I still listen to the show. It's on noon to 10 to noon on 99.9 The Sports Fan and the 99.9 Sports Fan app. Hayes Permar, quite possibly the most powerful man in Raleigh not to attend Fire Festival. So yeah. Actually, Derek, first question. Could Hayes Permar fix what's wrong with the Carolina Hurricanes?
If music can fix the Canes, then absolutely yes.
I mean, I think maybe what we need to do is we need to talk to Hayes, and we just need more parody songs about the team. And if we do that, maybe the team will be more motivated, so that way more guys will want their own parody songs. Like, here was an idea our very own Puck and Sunshine, Mr. J.C. Bobbitt himself, came up with, that Hayes should make a song that goes, Dougie and the Svetch. You know, Benny and the Jets type of thing, a little Elton John vibe. I don't
hate it. I do know that song.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, folks, if you have good ideas for Kane's parody songs that we should force Hayes Permar to produce as part of his job as the president of Sports Channel 8, please send them our way, and we'll take complete credit for them and send them to Hayes. None of us will ever get paid.
There will be no royalties passed along, and likely even fewer royalties collected.
Yes. So, Derek, again, as we talked about, the Canes, blazing hot start, started off the first couple of weeks, the hottest team in the National Hockey League, hit a little bit of a skid out west, and then November turned, and we looked at the calendar, and we said, wow, these are a lot of winnable games. And since then, we have lost to, if I believe, the New Jersey Devils, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the world's hottest goaltender, and I'll let you take that however you wish, Hank Lundqvist. Is this simply a case of hot goalie, or is this simply a case of the Canes don't know what the hell to do with excess talent?
I don't think it's that. I mean, we watched in the first period last night of how many damn good chances this team had, and shots from the slot that I think should have gone in. Some just barely missed the net. Lundqvist was playing out of his mind, but we got a lot of quality chances. Not that more people need to go read Sarah's stuff, but she embedded some tweets from a lot of the analytics guys like Micah McCurdry, and I hope I didn't butcher his name, but some other folks who had pieces in there of like just how much the Canes dominated the expected goals, the Corsi. If you want to go older school stats, faceoffs, I think were 61-28 good guys. That's just a game where shit happens. That's really the way I would chalk it up. No, it's not fun that our last three games we've lost to three teams below us in the division standings. But again, aside from Washington, everything is pretty close in the division. The Caps have 27. The Islanders, which I still do not understand, have 23. Then we're tied with the Penguins at 19. So like, it's going to be fine. We have 12 forwards now, so surely that's going to be an improvement, right?
Well, I look at it, and hopefully Eric Halla is back soon. I mean, who would have thought that the two keys to this Carolina Hurricanes team were going to be Jordan Martinook and Eric Halla? But it's shocking how when your third-line center and your fourth-line center all of a sudden miraculously get injured and everybody can focus on your top line, who is still trying to find their way in the world. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Beat Ottawa? Like, that's our rallying cry now, Mike, right? Beat Ottawa?
Two games. Four. So let me ask you this, Derek. What happens to Hurricanes Twitter if we go 0 for Ottawa?
I will pour myself another beverage and just laugh at things. I'm kind of glad you brought that up, though, Mike. I was talking with some folks at the tailgate last night, and tailgate, it was just a couple bubbly beverages in the parking lot. You could say we had a little bit of the bubbly. But I'm so amused whenever there's something going on with like four people who are followed by a lot of Canes fans, and they all happen to say things that are similar about the game, like, oh, they hated this, or this player played like crap, or this guy is the new golden boy. And then invariably, a bunch of people start going, oh, Canes Twitter's all up in this. Like, no, it's like four people. There are thousands. There are literally dozens of us on Canes Twitter. And if four people are doing something, that doesn't mean all of Canes Twitter is doing this. And it's either the best or the worst, or, oh boy, Canes Twitter's melting down. I don't know. I think there'll be some people who, if we lose, are like, what the hell? The season's ruined, and just very knee-jerk reactions. But I think there will be a lot of people who take it for what it is. And, hey, it's two losses. Now we have 18 games in the season, and we're still ahead of a point per game pace.
Yeah, Derek, but the problem is if you don't get 6 points every five games, you don't make the playoffs. And, well, here's the good news. We were in the playoff picture come November.
Thanksgiving. It's like 3 weeks away.
Thanksgiving's 3 weeks away. And if we aren't in the playoffs by Thanksgiving, we all know what happens.
We can win the cup if we're dead last in the league?
But was St. That's January.
That's January. Oh, okay.
We could be dead last in the league in January. I don't know. This team is baffling me, right? Because we were so.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it and I'm like, our. And I think maybe it's we haven't talked about it enough, the importance of center depth on this team. Because as we've pushed down the quality of centers for the third and fourth line, when it was Jordan Martinook on the fourth line and when it was Eric Hall on the third line, we were obtaining depth scoring. Now it seems like the depth scoring has dried up, and with the depth scoring dried up, basically we're looking to, you know, the top line again has to carry us. And while Sebastian Aho finally potted another one last night, it hasn't been as consistent as we would want. And you know, it seems like the trick to this league is your third line has to beat the other team's third line, because their top defensive line most nights, unless you're the Boston Bruins, are going to shut down your top line, because no one's shutting down Marchand and Bergeron at this point in Pastrnak.
Yeah, and Aho's goal wasn't one of those really pretty goals. I think his was the one that went in off of one of the Rangers, but it counts.
Still counts.
It counts just as much as Svetch's lacrosse goal. So they all register the same amount of points. I think you're right. We just need some additional production. I think it's great that Dougie's leading the team in points with 17, but he probably shouldn't be leading the team in points. I mean, Svetch is there at 15. Turbo's got 13. There are a handful of guys at 11. So we have some balanced scoring, but it just doesn't feel like on any given night a whole line is all that threatening or all that dominant in the last 10 games or so, where we felt that, you know, with Eric Halla on the power play early on, it's like, okay, he's good for a power play goal. I mean, he had what? I think a power play goal in each of the first five games. There hasn't been that thing you can count on for production really outside of Dougie on any given night. And I think that's a little bit worrisome at this point.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the conversation's happening, and it's said, you know, we've seen Elliot Friedman and Pierre LeBrun both come out in the last week, say the Carolina Hurricanes are actively.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
All right, folks, we welcome back here to Cheaters Never Win. Let's just call it what it is. Our absolute favorite beat writer. You may know her as the world's greatest Instagram influencer as it relates to alcoholic seltzer beverages. We happen to know her as the lead Carolina Hurricanes writer for the Carolina Athletic. She is the one, the only Sarah Sivian. Siv, welcome back to Cheaters Never Win. Fighting the good fight, we see.
Oh my God, you guys pump my tires way too much. I'm eternally grateful. Last podcast I did with you, I think I had 1 hour of sleep in Anaheim. Today I'm ready to go. What's up?
Hey, we are ready to go. Unlike the team that was on the ice last night, the offense was absolutely not ready to go. 47 shots on the most beautiful man in the National Hockey League now that Mark Recchi has retired. What do the Canes have to do to break out of this three-game losing skid we're in the midst of, Siv?
Well, it's just been weird. They need to do everything that they're doing except put it all together. It's like, it's funny because I was talking to Rod on Wednesday, just kind of, he and Stahl are both talking about how they're trying to be too cute and trying to be fancy. And I'm just asking Rod, kind of, how do you stop that? That's a tough call, right? Fine line with all this new skill. And he said he didn't want to put the hammer down too early because there are these young skill players and he doesn't want them to feel like they can't do their thing. And I could tell he was starting to get a little bit like, not annoyed, but just kind of, he's a very expressive person. And like when people are talking about the lacrosse goal, it's like, all right, yeah, it was great. And he loves Svechnikov, but it's just one goal. So it was funny that the next day they came back with kind of their classic quintessential experience in Hurricanes hockey. And I think they just need to put both of those things together. And it's a young team. So I like that they responded to Rod's kind of leniency with the performance he'd actually like to see, you know?
Yeah. See, I disagreed with Mike. I didn't think our offense was that bad. It was just Hank, like you put in your article, when Lundqvist is on, just good luck beating him. One of the things I'm starting to worry about is the amount of turnovers that have led to goals. I mean, Dougie got away with one last night. Gardner, who seems to be the whipping boy in the last week, had one that led to a Rangers goal. I wonder what we need to do to just cut down on those turnovers, because other than that, it seems like we're just a juggernaut unless we run into a dreaded hot goalie.
Well, that's exactly kind of the reason why the Edmondson trade at face value is kind of weird, but now it's like, oh, all these several defensemen that are just going to do extremely high-risk things and sometimes not get rewarded. It's like 15 people just making risks. But that's actually, it didn't make it into the story, and I actually commented later in the story because somebody asked and had the same thought as you. I asked Slavin just kind of what the deal is with the late period goals. Like, why are you giving up so many goals late in the game when you're having like a fantastic period and it's just kind of marred by that? And he was like, I think that's a coincidence. I think it's just about giving up plays at the blue line and kind of, okay, wait, here's the exact quote. He said, I think that's just a coincidence. I think it starts from the play earlier in that shift that leads to the icing and the goal. We need to get those things out of our game. We turn pucks over at the blue line. I think that's been the story of the last couple games. That's when other teams are getting their chances, and that's when we're giving up goals. And yeah, I mean, that's obvious. But yeah, I also think I'm going to cut people slack until we're fully absolved of the 11-7 scenario.
Well, Siv, you wrote a great article when, you know, speaking of the Edmondson trade, that, you know, was talking about how local whipping boy Justin Falk is no longer part of the Carolina Hurricanes. Has Jake Gardner fell into the role of new Justin Falk quicker than anybody ever expected?
Well, I think we all knew that was going to happen when his nickname in Toronto was Miss Jakes. Like, they would call him the Miss Mistakes, Miss Jakes. But I just think that's high event hockey. Like, that's hockey, baby. I think I just tweeted that, so I just said it again. But I think that's just what you get. And I think people are so, I think I was going at it with somebody on Twitter that said Dougie's, his mistake yesterday was bad. I'm like, yeah, it was bad, but are we going to play perfect hockey? Is there going to, like, that's just not possible. If people are going to do their thing, they're going to do their thing. And when it looks bad, it looks bad, but they definitely have to reel it in a little, I think.
I want to ask you a question that you have not been asked this season. You haven't written a word about yet. What do we do with Hayden Fleury?
I think I was scared for a second, then I'm like, no, I know you now. I know it's going to be something that you're sarcastic. Yeah, I think they're going to trade him, honestly, or they're going to try to trade Venrine's sake. It's just awkward. I don't know. I think he's ready to be that defenseman, but whenever he gets a chance to be it, it's not enough. And he needs to be somewhere where there aren't a million other defensemen that can, like, he needs to be the only option somewhere, you know what I mean, to actually flourish. He was finally flourishing, and then it's like, oh, sucks to suck. The healthy guy is back, and it happens to be your best friend, and they couldn't be better sports about it, but I understand that it's a business. But then you start asking yourself, is this the best way to go about business right now? Because the 11-7 thing, I harp on that, but I did not like it. And it's not giving him a real chance to be good, which is not benefiting the team or him.
No, so, it was bad. Yeah, we were talking a little bit up in the stands last night about Fleury or Van Riemsdyk and who should play. And I think we're all in agreement that right now, Van Riemsdyk is the better defenseman. I think you even wrote about it that Fleury has the higher ceiling. Van Riemsdyk is a little more solid. But how much do you need to have a guy you can truly count on versus a higher ceiling in that third pairing, as opposed to, like, sure, you want to eliminate risk on a top pair, but when you're only playing 11 minutes a night, how much does it truly matter if that's a place to grow?
Exactly, especially considering, like, the cap space situation that the Canes find themselves in like, I know it's foreign territory here, but it's a real issue now. And if it's going to be, they both need to get paid soon. So it's kind of like, do you trade Ben Riemsdyk in his trade year and see what you can get for him? But then there's leverage. It really depends who they can get back, if Justin Williams is going to come back. A lot of things with the cap space that they might have not had to think about before. But, I mean, if it were me, I'd probably keep Fleury and trade Ben Riemsdyk, depending on who you get back, and kind of see what happens. Because I would trust Fleury, but I don't know the conversations that go on between Brind'Amour and the front office. But I don't think you can tell. Actions speak, and I don't think he likes to play him for a lot of time on ice unless he has to. So I feel like that's telling, and maybe they should trade Fleury if they don't feel comfortable playing him. You know what I mean?
Well, and you brought up something, and I know this has been something that has just bugged the bejesus out of me. What is your instinct, Sarah, on the decision to go 11-7? Does this have more to do with the fact of, you know, as Rod Brind'Amour said, well, it gives me a chance to play my best players more? Or is this, you know, at least from this guy's seat, feels a little bit like somebody in the front office is saying, okay, you know what, here's your team, go make the best of it. We're not making a move for one or two games. You know, Martinook's going to be back here, hopefully in another couple of weeks, and you know, deal with what you've got, with what we've got. What do you have an instinct or a feel for kind of where this 11-7 decision is coming from?
I've been like, it's funny because I've been trying to like investigate this issue. I've been asking everybody on the team to the point where a few days ago, one of them came up to me and was like, where is your 11-7 expose? Hey, like you clearly hate this. I'm like, I know, but I don't think it's Rod. I think it's just the team structure, because I've asked him when we're on the road or when we're at PNC Arena. It's just kind of like every day I feel like I'm asking why 11-7. And one of the days he just said something like, well, that's what we got here, so that's what we're going to play. And I kind of just picked up a vibe that, like, I don't think that is his first choice, but he's just kind of rolling with the punches. So I don't know. It might be just a collective, all right, that's what we're going to do until someone returns from injury or whatever. But obviously they kind of admitted it didn't work when they called up E2.
I thought he looked pretty decent last night. I was hoping to see, God, there was that one shift I feel like he was on the ice for where he had so many good chances and darn near wrapped one in. But I was looking at the stats here and I wanted to ask you a question. Now that Hayden Fleury has scored and that albatross has left the room, what happens first? Erik Haula is completely healthy or Joel Edmundson gets a goal?
Well, you know what? I'm writing a story about kind of life on the road, and the person that does their music, Tristan Simmons, he's their registered massage therapist, and he's awesome. He kind of told me what he does with the Canes and how he prepares for games and stuff with the medical staff. But he also does their post-game pick your tune or whatever. And he said Joel Edmundson has the best one by far. So now I'm like, I've never wanted somebody to score so bad. I'm like, you got to score a goal. And there's this one goal that he practices every single practice where it's kind of like the TVR thing. And I'm like, I'm rooting for him. But I think Hall is going to return before he does it.
Well, you know, Siv, we're now into the double-digit games. The Boston Bruins are the juggernauts we thought they would be. The Islanders are something. I don't know how they do it, but they keep winning games. Yes, they are Barry Trotzing and Mitch Corning the hell out of this season already. And Ovi is, you know, seemingly just continuing to do Ovi things. With this little blip in the radar, how long can this little ride run before there starts to be a little bit of heat inside 1400 Edwards Mill Road emanating from South Texas?
What a question. And please, this is called Peter Carmona's Drive. Please don't forget that. But I think it's isn't like it's a short leash, especially because that brings up something that Brendan Moore was talking about the other day, that like it's time, you got to be hard on Sebastian Aho because he got the signing bonus, he's your star now, and Sebastian gets that too more than anyone. He's hardest on himself. Like, you know what it's like to grow up, your dad's a coach, and like you are hard on yourself, and you know, but it's that's still not an excuse. Like, he has to be their best player, and just kind of that was a microism of how far the Canes have come, that like, no, nobody's getting off the hook, right? And like, we're allowed to criticize people because they're Canes are spending a lot of money on them, they're supposed to be these stars. So it really, that's how like a good team is covered and how a good team like has to be represented, you know what I mean? So I think it's a short leash. I think a few more games, this is kind of an important stretch, and they lost the right way last game, and that's actually more encouraging than a bad win, you know what I mean? But they're glad it came this easy, but or this early, but they need to respond to that with a good win.
Yeah, back-to-back against Ottawa will hopefully help that out. I just looked. I know plus-minus is everyone's favorite stat, but how in the world is someone from Ottawa leading the league in plus-minus? I do not understand that. Sarah, an off-ice question. When we first talked to you, you had been in Raleigh for 9 hours or so. Last time we talked to you on the podcast, you brought this up. You were in Anaheim. The sleep was not exactly your best friend right now. But in the past couple weeks, you shared that you have re-upped with the Athletic. You will be covering this team on a multi-year basis, which we're all very excited about. Want to know, what are you enjoying about being in Raleigh and covering this team?
Just everybody. Like, I never really expected. I don't know. I was thinking about it the other day. Just kind of, I thought it might be like a little nice place on my way to something else, and just kind of like I would deal with it. I'm sure it's going to be fine. Like, great opportunity. But I actually have met some of my best friends. I'm saying this, and I live with Abby Labar now, and she's like probably hearing this in the other room because we just moved in together. I think the people here are just unreal, and the Canes fans get me. I think like it's tough when you go from having like 8,000 followers on Twitter to 40,000 and so quick. Like, the Athletic social media manager was telling me the other day that I have the fastest growing Twitter account of anybody at the Athletic, and that was kind of just like, okay, that made me feel better about how kind of weird it is. But just to have the support of a fan base, and just like they get my jokes, and they like we're doing inside jokes and things like that, just I'm proud to cover a team that has fans like this, and like the classiest fans in the league just kind of will go to bat for you. And it spoiled me a little bit, and it's just a no-brainer that I'd want to stay here. And the guys, just traveling with them and getting to know them, they're such good guys, and they like the respect that they have, the mutual respect. I like never would have expected something like that so early in my career, but you're lucky to root for a group of guys like this.
Well, and Siv, last question from this microphone, and again, thank you guys for joining us. If you guys aren't following Sarah Sivian on Twitter, A, what the hell are you doing with your life? And B, if you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, please do that, because it is the best stuff going. But let's go away from hockey, and you mentioned Abby, who is, you know, best wishes to Mike Maniscalco. We all know him. We all love him. He will be back in that seat soon, but Abby is doing a phenomenal job. But if, you know, we drop a lot of wrestling references on this podcast, and it seems like Sarah Sivian, Abby Labar, Bridget Condon are starting to form basically the four horsewomen of Raleigh journalism. And if you have a chance, and since you obviously now have her as a roommate, it seems like a great point to tell us, how has this kind of research, you know, this surge of really powerful female voices in the Raleigh sports market kind of happened? Because this is something we didn't necessarily have 12 months ago, and all of a sudden we have this very strong kind of thing that is kind of bubbling up around you guys, and I'd love to just get your feelings on it.
we were actually going to be the Powderpuff Girls for Halloween, but Halloween kind of fell through in general. But I think it's hard to be a woman in sports. I have an awesome time offline. I know I like sure people on Twitter, but like the Canes and many, like everybody I work with in real life they blow me away with how respectful they are and how like just easy it is for me to talk to them. But I think Abby and Bridget are so just supportive people, and like sometimes we'll go after our own with women in sports media because you think there's only so many spaces or so many like opportunities, but we just like have been really there for each other, lifting each other up and like encouraging each other. And crying, not really. Just, it's been something I've never had to have that kind of support, and just funny, great people. It's been a good time.
Well, we are very lucky and fortunate to have you and to have Abby and kind of the whole crew here. And again, we can't say thank you enough.
The
Vibe Tribe. The White Claw No Law summer of Civ is done, and now it is the winter of the Vibe Tribe, and we are looking forward to sticking along with you and everybody over at the Athletic Carolina through this whole thing. Civ, we can't say thank you enough for taking some time out of your evening. It is about 5:25 for those of you who are looking for a live endgame update on Friday evening. White Claws are just around the corner. Civ, go get yours. We're about to get ours. We'll talk to you soon.
Folks, it's White Claw o'clock. Thank you so much.
There you go. Thanks, Civ.
Thanks, Sarah.
Folks, if you are not subscribed to the Athletic Carolina, do it. Do it today. We are not compensated by any means. I just happen to think it is the best writing. Not only is Civ great for what she does for the Hurricanes, myself, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. Joe Person and Jordan Rodrigue do absolutely phenomenal work for them. Derek, rumor has it you are an Ohio State Buckeye fan, and I'm sure you can tell me who covers the Buckeyes for the Athletic.
Ari Weisserman and Bill Landis. But what I was going to say, just on the NHL front of the Athletic, they've had a great run of stories this week about like hockey culture and some of the behind the scenes things. It's just, it's really good writing, and you're not getting that anywhere else on a consistent basis. But yeah, again, we are not getting compensated by them or paid by them. So let's move right the hell along. Before we started talking to Sarah, you mentioned trade possibilities, and she brought it up again about, do you trade Fleury? Do you try to trade TVR? But you said that a couple folks are saying we're looking for a top nine enhancement. My question is, how do we afford it, and who would we have to move out to get somebody who can contribute to the top nine? If we trade Fleury, he's not paid that much, so we'd have to get somebody back who is probably on an ELC. And is a team really going to want to part with a guy who can contribute to the top nine on an ELC?
I probably should have done this in show prep, Derek, but I'm actively looking up the Winnipeg Jets roster as we speak to see who our boy Chevy may want to trade because Dustin Byfuglien basically pulling a Justin Williams, a.k.a. Mike Fisher at this point, and saying, I don't know if I'm going to play or play.
Byfuglien did have surgery, though, so that's a little different.
Yeah, but it's not only that. He said, I don't know if I'm playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact of that's kind of what he's doing. So we look at it. I mean, if you look at a guy like, I'm like, who is underperforming for these guys? Could we go get somebody like, I don't know. What is an Adam Lowry? He's got $2.75 million.
Nope.
No, that we can't trade TVR for an Adam Lowry, whatever that is. We could package something and maybe go get a Mark Scheifele. I mean, I like him.
Winnipeg's probably trading their number one center.
Probably not going to trade Scheifele.
No.
I will tell you who has been thoroughly underperforming, and we can't afford him, but Blake Wheeler and his $10 million contract against the cap, I believe it is this year.
So his cap hit is 8.25, but his salary is 10, then 6.5, then 10, then 6.5.
Okay.
Gotta love things like that.
Yeah. Good luck to our buddy Paul Maurice. I wish him nothing but nothing.
These will not. This will not end in the pleasantry you think it will.
I don't know. I mean, there are, you know, Dallas is struggling right now. So there are teams out there that definitely need defensive depth. You know, the good folks up in Toronto could use another defenseman. I think there's probably a trade out there to be made somewhere. I will defer to Eric Tulski and who and how. But I agree that you can't continue to go down this path, particularly with, you know, you've got the likes of Jake Bean and Chase Prisky and other guys down in Charlotte who are, you know, nearing that point of Hayden Fleury, I need time in the National Hockey League because continuing in the AHL is not going to make me any better. At some point, we have to figure out what we've got with some of these other guys, and knowing that our top four is virtually settled. And I don't know if anybody has settled with Jake Gardner in the top four. Can we just discuss, and I met Jake. Jake was a very nice guy. I know he was beloved by a lot of folks in Toronto, hated by a lot of folks in Toronto. Has there ever been a player who's played for the Carolina Hurricanes, save maybe Byron Richie, who was more of a human bobblehead than Jake Gardner?
Kevin Adams had a big old nugget.
When Buffalo comes to town, maybe Kevin Adams goes one-on-one and maybe we can get a picture of Jake Gardner next to Kevin Adams for the prize of most life-size bobblehead for the Carolina Hurricanes ever.
I mean, largest head in hockey history, Olli Jokinen, right?
that thing was just massive.
I wanted to carve it for Halloween.
We talk about people who can't defend themselves on this podcast, but in real life could punch us in the face.
And in real life have achieved much higher levels of success than we have
ever.
Let that be the lesson, kids. Punch up.
I don't know. Something's gonna happen. If this continues to happen, I expect the Carolina Hurricanes to make some sort of a move before the calendars flip over to December.
Mike, what you're saying is if things keep happening, something will happen.
That is my projection, and I will stick by it.
Interesting. I will make a note of that. One thing that I'm surprised did not happen is, Mike, I saw you at the game yesterday. You did not have any scars or bruises that at least were visible to me. Maybe there were some internal bruises or just, you know, a wounded ego from your trip to Philly. How was it in the Wells Fargo Center? One, have they changed names? Are they still the Wells Fargo Center? What was their weird inverted scoreboard like? And how were you received wearing the opposing team's jersey in a place that is just has such a reputation for being so welcoming to people who are not like them?
Well, I will say this. So the Wells Fargo Center wasn't my first time there. Seeing a game, also saw Hayden Fleury drafted in the Wells Fargo Center. Derek, you may remember that. You were there with me. It was our first draft together, and we went,
aw.
Who?
We were so young.
Who? So we had, I was wearing my black Andrei Svechnikov jersey, and I was greeted with the person who was taking tickets. They said, what team is that for? And I'm like, oh, that's the Carolina jersey. And they looked at it, and they went, really? And I was like, yep. And they went, oh. So great things. I had multiple people inside the Wells Fargo Center ask me about my jersey, saying whose it was. And then when they realized it was an Andrei Svechnikov jersey, they were like, oh. I only had one person, you know, curse at me, which I thought was fairly low considering my expectations for Philly. But it's a lovely building. The food is excellent. They have numerous areas of large gathering spots for like bars. The Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, I believe they're at a place called Campano's. My apologies for mispronouncing it, but my apologies for also ordering your shit sandwich because it was awful. I will say
Mike, I got to be honest, that's on you for ordering a shit sandwich.
It was. The pizza in the Wells Fargo Center might be the best thing I've ever had in an arena. It was big. I mean, we're like massive. I'm like, it's literally larger than like most small pies one slice was.
Compared to Olli Jokinen's head.
Bigger than Olli Jokinen's head.
Good Lord.
Bigger than Jake Gardner's helmet. It was a massive slice of pie. It was delicious. It wasn't overly oily. The sight lines in the Wells Fargo Center are really good. The crowd's kind of tame, kind of quiet in the bowl itself. The scoreboard was weird. It's this, you know, I took my souffle out of the oven too early and it collapsed upon itself scoreboard. And they were very ad heavy. So where it wasn't concave, there was always ads running. Or some stats, but for the most part, they are very focused on using their scoreboard to sell additional ad space. Lots of Comcast ads, as you would expect up in Philadelphia, but overall, a super enjoyable experience. Maybe the best thing, aside from seeing my Carolina Hurricanes, unfortunately, they did not come away with a win. Upon exit, I was gifted with the greatest post-game giveaway in world history.
Waiting outside for 18 wheelers to pull up with Jamie McBain bobbleheads because Cabrelay is no longer with the team?
Nope. Derek, no. I obtained a gritty chia pet.
A what?
A gritty chia pet.
I mean, you could sand it down.
No. Gritty. As in the greatest mascot in the National Hockey League, Gritty.
So, do the seeds that you get with that, do they grow orange?
No, but they do grow a beard as opposed to growing a tuft of hair at the top.
Okay, that's good.
It's the greatest thing ever. I love everything about it.
Fantastic.
Thank you to the Flyers and their promotions department for that. Canes, you're up. Highly encourage anybody who gets a chance to make their way up to the Wells Fargo Center. I had no issues. Not saying that you won't have any issues, but be nice, make friends, don't be a butthole. And for the most part, hockey fans are good people, except Buffalo, because, you know, F those guys. Particularly Lars Eller. Can we talk about how sad I am that Lars Eller is having a good season? F Lars Eller and the truck he rode in on, and I hope he ends up with the Jamie McBain bobbleheads in the dump. I hate that guy. You want to do some cheat mail, Derek?
I would love to run through all of it.
Cheat mail. Lars Eller. First question.
No. So, Mike, I think we've hit this one a bunch, but let's wrap it up, put a bow on this. This one is from Aiden Calhoun at Metal Caniac Fan.
I'm going to interrupt you, Derek. I need to crack this New Belgium here.
All right.
I'm going to give me a sweet, delicious New Belgium beer. This is for cheat mail. Go ahead. I'm going to chug this.
All right. This is from Aiden Calhoun at
Lars Eller. Hate that guy.
At Metal Caniac Fan, considering we've lost three in a row, what do we need to do in order to get back on track?
Punch Lars Eller.
That does not involve seven defensemen.
Seven defensemen punching Lars Eller at the same time, straight in the face. Hate that guy.
On the sixth day of Christmas.
You know, I think part of what we need to do is get a little lucky. And I know luck is not a strategy, so I will take that for what it's worth. I would like to see the reunification or the unification of the Svech Aho Turbo and make that top line just everything. And then, you know, maybe go Dzingle, Stahl, Nino on the second line and go really heavy and see if we can get any of those guys just their confidence soaring and get all of that fired up. I know the National Hockey League tends to be about pairs and not threesomes, but, you know, we live in a more open society at this point, so I'd like to see those guys get invigorated by being part of a better threesome. Derek, what do you think?
I would like to see Lucas Wallmark do something. Talking to folks last night, like, is there
all Swedish, no Finnish?
Yeah, is there a more replaceable player on this team right now than Lucas Wallmark?
Yeah.
Who?
Brock McGinn.
Our
client, Brock. So,
yeah,
McGinn.
Yeah, looking at the stats, they're tied at 4 points right now. Lucas has 2-2. Brock has 1-3. Neither of them are reliable contributors at this point, I would say.
Yeah. So, I think we've got to figure out the bottom of the lineup. We need the bottom of the lineup producing more. We need Eric Halla and Jordan Martinook back.
Please,
Marty, bring the Marty party back. That's what we're missing. We're missing a Marty party.
Damn right.
Derek, speaking of things that haven't been happening in a while, this one from our buddy at Kaniac _ Mathis, respecting the _ like a boss.
Respect.
Are the Hurricanes canceled?
No. Mike, if you listened to the earlier part of the podcast, which you have literally no way of having done, you would know that there are still 66 games remaining in this season. The Hurricanes are not canceled.
Hurricanes are going to be fun. Hurricanes are going to be good. Good things are going to happen for the Carolina Hurricanes, assuming we get 3 out of 4 points against Ottawa. If we get anything less than 3 out of 4 points against Ottawa over the next couple of days, Derek,
it would be uncivilized.
The next podcast is going to just be just ugly. Like if we lose Saturday and then we lose Monday, I might come and do like a solo ranty, I hate Lars Eller style podcast about these Hurricanes because, if we go 0 for Ottawa, and I've put it out there in the ether, so it's happening now. I don't even know what to do.
If we lose those two games, here's what I'm going to do. Go, that was disappointing. And then cook dinner.
You say that.
I do.
But what would you do if the Buckeyes lost to Maryland this weekend? Would you go and cook dinner?
That is completely different.
In
college football, if you lose one game, you're not a certainty to make the playoffs. We could lose the next 12 games, Mike, and then win the next 30. I know both of those are highly unlikely, but in pro sports, you can afford to drop a few. That's why I'm not going to sweat it. I'll be disappointed if we lose the next two, but I'm not going to panic.
See, Derek, that's why you're here. You're here to level me out, to give the people just that calming, soothing thing that they need. Who would have ever thought?
not me either.
Folks, that's going to do it here for this week on the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Again, thanks to our sponsors, the beautiful, lovely, wonderful folks over at New Belgium Brewing. We're going to be working with them here in short order to talk about when our first live podcast of the season is going to be happening. We're working on our next planned New Belgium sponsored tailgate. We're going to be able to enjoy some of that sweet, delicious New Belgium brew. So as you're planning your holiday parties or you're planning your in-laws coming over for the holidays, invest in some New Belgium because it helps soothe the pain of people living in your house that you don't want there. And also, speaking of houses, thank you to the Kaniac Realtor, Don from Fathom Realty. If you have people move in your house and you can afford a second house so that way you don't have to deal with them, go see Don. She'll get you hooked up with a house.
True.
Patreon.com/section328, section 328, over on Facebook and Instagram, section_328 on the Twitters. Derek, what did I screw up this time? You're good at this.
Probably a lot, but we will probably hear more about it from our friends.
Yeah, we will. Until then, folks, we appreciate y'all listening. Thanks very much. Rate, review, subscribe. But most importantly, get well, Mike Maniscalco. We love you. We miss you. And we can't wait for you to be back behind the mics. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we're out of here.
Yeah.